It's Wednesday. It's our segment. It's that time to get our view from the moon. Our CSNChicago.com Bears insider John Moon Mullen has landed, making the special trip in, even though we didn't have to be here today. There was no work to do with the schedule being pushed back another week. But there was some news, or non-news, I should say, yesterday with the NFL trade deadline passing at 3 o'clock Central Time. Ryan Pace made a couple of deals earlier in the season with New England and with Carolina. There was some speculation that, you know, if Lamar Houston or Willie Young were unhappy, he'd certainly listen to offers for them. Why in the end do you think that didn't quite pan out? Because I think Ryan Pace was at least very willing to listen yesterday.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's established that he is a trader, not a trader at heart, but he's open. He'll answer the phone, as he did with Jared Allen, Jonathan Bostic. The problem, there's so little trading that goes on. You know, it's not just the Bears. A lot of times, why would you deal for somebody for somebody that's probably going to be cut if he's not a major upgrade? And if someone didn't see Willie Young or Lamar Houston as an immediate impact, why would you give up anything? I mean, they really haven't had much impact here. They're both coming off season-ending injuries. A lot of reasons why a team wouldn't give you something for them.
Well, Young did, though. You know, they could. His first season here was at 10 sacks.
Oh, he was good last year.
You know, but I think that one of the things that people look for is, you know, does he still have that, you know, first step, that burst? And I do believe he does. But his problem is just getting some time right now. When you switch things up the way that they have, you look at the last week's game as an example, there were some ample opportunities down the stretch to put a guy like him in the ball game, and they preferred to go with the linebackers, mainly because they wanted the flexibility of those guys knowing, you know, how to really drop and cover.
Right, and I think, you know, you can say, well, they certainly didn't play him just to showcase him. I mean, they were playing to win. Right. I mean, in their mind, Willie Young was not going to contribute as much as Sam Acho or whomever they put on the edge. So, yeah, that's just the way it is. You know, teams like their draft choices, even their late round ones.
Yeah, Houston and Young played a combined 11 snaps of the 58 defensive plays in Sunday's loss to the Minnesota Vikings. So, with it looking at least like Matt Forte may be sidelined at least this Monday, we have ourselves a potential all-Big Ten matchup at running back, Melvin Gordon, who has been struggling for San Diego, though a lot of that has to do with their instability and injuries on the offensive line. Oh, same way for the Bears here. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the guy running that offensive line, what have you seen from Jeremy Langford? Obviously, I think we're a little surprised the opportunities haven't been a little greater, but that's because of Matt Forte.
It is. I mean, Matt Forte, I mean, is going to be one of the quietest franchise backs. This is the second greatest running back in the in the franchise history of a team that has a lot of great running backs. You know, I think Forte has been so good and so durable. But going back even to training camp, the thing that impressed me, even down at the combine, talking with him, there's a real a positive, an edge to him. He runs hard, and he actually weighs about 10 pounds less than Matt, and he is a burner. Mm-hmm. He's a 4-4 guy who's not afraid to stick his nose in it. And I asked Kyle Long about that. You know, you're blocking for these guys. Do you ever really notice a difference between Matt Forte and the guy who's going by you? And he said, absolutely. You know, and it's not, you know, Matt is his own class of runner, but Jeremy Langford is, you know, speed is what really delivers a blow, and he's a fast guy into the hole.
He's got, what the scouts use the term, suddenness.
Suddenness, exactly. That's exactly
and
right.
He's a guy that has that, with that little bit of a shake that he has when he comes through. But then the other thing that you have to like about him, and what is he, he's all of what, about 6 feet tall, 208 pounds, whatever it is, it's coming pretty low. Shoulder pads down. And he's going to try to boost off the line of scrimmage.
Well, you know what? He's also done what, and, you know, you remember going back with guys like Neil Anderson or even Jim Harbaugh, draft choices or skill position guys who aren't afraid to play special teams, which tells you something about the toughness. This guy,
he wants to get out there and do something.
I want to hit somebody.
Yeah.
And I think you want that in a running back. And as Kyle Long said, I think Chicago's going to like the way this guy runs.
Watch the way that he will set up blocks. Mm-hmm. Some running backs come in and they have no idea. You know, you draw the play up on the paper, and they go, I'm supposed to go right over here. No. If follow the blocking scheme. A lot of times, you know, some plays are designed really to be more effective on a little bit of a break back because you let the floor of the defense go, and you find the hole on the backside of the play. And he's really good at that. You'll see him set something up, and then break it back to the other side. That's when you know you have a running back that has that sense.
And, yeah,
you watch Matt Forte.
Too.
Matt has gotten more and more patient, allowing blocks to happen.
Go ahead.
And to get to that point, Danny, I think he is somebody. I watched him in training camp doing exactly that. Not running without imagination. But we have all seen guys come into the league and just try to do it on their raw athleticism.
Man, I run a 4.3, and I nobody's catching me.
Nobody's catching me. Well, you're not getting past this guy who's a linebacker and run 4.3.
And he's standing on the line of scrimmage.
With evil intent. Yeah, exactly.
If Langford is the starter, obviously one snap away with a potential injury about who would come in. And is this really almost a career crossroads if they choose that Kadeem Carey is that guy behind Langford this week and not Antone Smith? This is kind of a potential crossroads moment for his long-term stay in the NFL, the fourth rounder
really
from
is.
A year ago.
Yeah, and unfortunately, and Carey is a hard-working guy, really applied himself. I think the light didn't, even told me in training camp, the light really didn't go on for him until even this offseason when he really started, he needed to get into his playbook more. But one of the problems, he's not a special teams guy. I think Jeremy Langford is. Now, again, whether that's temperament or whatever.
I'll tell you one thing. If you're not starting at that position,
you better be.
You better be a special teams guy, because that's something where you're going to get any time on the field. The other thing that he has to recognize is that so much of his job is also blitz pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a guy like Jay Cutler, if you pick up a blitz and give him a little bit of extra time, things get really bad for the defense then. The other thing is that if you're talking about shifting along your offensive line and guys, being up and being down, it's important to have a back in there that knows what he's doing.
Well, and talking to him in training camp, Danny, was, and I put this into a story that, and I wouldn't have expected this out of a rookie running back. He said, well, I forget how the question was, but talking about the concept of running back, my number one job is protect the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, this kid gets it.
Yeah.
And even talked about that was his mindset at Michigan State. He was backed up Le'Veon Bell, so this kid knows something about good running backs. But I was impressed at what he said, which means he gets the concept of the whole thing.
He kind of reminds me of Bell in many respects, the way that he runs the football.
Yeah.
They're very similar in that regard, setting up the blocks and then taking advantage of them.
Speaking of protecting the quarterback, let's move to the offensive line. And it has been, a merry-go-round, a revolving door, if you will, with all the injuries that they've had to deal with so far. And I think it's an opportunity, when you look at the fact that the Bears have allowed just 13 sacks all season long with a lot of Band-Aids, a lot of moves. Now, props to Dave Magazoo, the offensive line coach, who I think in his days in Denver also had similar situations where guys were going down trying to protect Peyton Manning, and he was able to get whoever was called upon to step up and do the job.
Yeah, in fact, I think even last weekend, I thought there was a phone call. He wants you to get in.
Yeah.
Get taped.
That.
You're in.
Yeah.
Jiggins,
he's got a 62 there.
Yeah, right. They would have if the uniform wasn't taken. No, I think that's really an interesting factoid, Chris, is the level of protection with all of these changing bodies. And I think it also goes to the holistic look at things here. Jay Cutler getting rid of the ball quicker. He's only taken 9 sacks. I believe they're in the top 10 in sack.
Well, the formations that they're in. A lot of times he's not under center. The other thing is that if he takes a drop, it's usually a 3-step or a quick 5-step, and the ball's popping out. It's on time, it's on rhythm, and the ball's gone.
Yeah, too many times in the past, he'd pat the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And DBs and linemen love when doing that. And I think what you guys were talking about earlier about with Adam Gase is really have gotten through to the nature of get the ball out of your hands, get it into the playmaker. Everyone talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the seed really took root this year with Jay. And I think that has helped his protection. The ball's gone.
With the schedule being pushed back a day because of the Monday night, we will hear from special teams coordinator Jeff Rogers tomorrow. And, unfortunately, week by week, it's almost been a recurring theme where he's had to answer questions about either a return touchdown, a fake punt, a disguised punt that Seattle ran. And this has really not worked in the Bears' favor with so many hiccups on special teams. It looked for a span of about 2 weeks, especially from a coverage standpoint. They were starting to get it, and then the wheels came off again last Sunday.
Yeah, this is such an interesting and a hard-to-figure area because all of these guys, for the last couple of years of their college careers, weren't playing special teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, they were the stars of teams. Well, you better learn real quickly.
Or you'll be playing on no team.
You'll be playing somewhere else. But, yeah, I think it's one of the most difficult position coaches, if you will, Because you are taking guys from offense, from defense. You're seeing, you know, Josh Bellamy, a receiver. You're seeing a safety. You're seeing, you know, a backup running back. Mm-hmm. All these, and you're supposed to integrate all these guys and get them thinking like a special teams guy on top of their position playbook. So it's I think it's one of the more difficult areas to coach.
You know, to me it was like the opposite. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're not starting, that's your one opportunity to contribute. Mm-hmm. And if you know that you're not contributing on special teams, then your position on this team flimsy at best.
Yeah.
Because as soon as something happens, they look to a spot where they can clear out a guy and maybe set him down and bring somebody else in who can do that as well as the other stuff that they're asking for. Because it's all about toughness. If you want to play on special teams, you have to have some toughness.
That's a great point, Dan. I mean, it's about want to. I mean, that's the intangible that running backs who are good at blitz pickup. Mm-hmm. You got to have a lot of, you know, when you're just going to stick your helmet between the numbers of linebacker, that's about want to. And what makes this so hard to figure is there is no area of this team that I've sensed in the locker room. There's no Jake in it. There's a lot of good attitude here, mm-hmm. and they're just out of position, and that's just getting, they're just getting burned.
All right. Hopefully better things to come on Monday night in San Diego, which also is struggling very much on special mm-hmm. teams. The Chargers are. That's our CSNChicago.com Bears Insider. John Moonmull, thanks for making a special trip in, and we will talk to you not only the rest of this week, but I imagine from San Diego on Monday night as well.
I can work with that.
You can enjoy San Diego.
Yeah. Going down to
the
Gaslight District.
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. Thank you for
that. Nice little Larry.
John Moonmull joining us at the PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. We will be back with more Bears Huddle brought to you by Verizon Wireless.